this show is one, it's the weirdest one ever, where I've been not looking forward to it, but I'm also looking forward to it just because I need some closure. Like, you have no idea. You have no idea how rough it's been for me, like, for the past week or so.
Welcome to A Different Corner, the only George Michael-themed fantasy football podcast on the internet. I'm joined by my dear friend, Dr. Lumen Ali. And whilst this is the only George Michael-themed fantasy football podcast online, I want to recite lyrics not from George Michael, but from the Disney classic, The Lion King. Hakuna Matata. What a wonderful phrase. Hakuna Matata. Ain't no passing craze, Lumen. It means no worries for the rest of your days. It's our problem-free philosophy. Hakuna Matata. Lumen, thoughts?
I think we speak a lot on this show about a ghost by the name of Callum Wilson, who's gave me serious PTSD last year. He is joined now by Jean-Philippe Mateta.
Can you please tell us what happened in game week 34 for him to join the likes of Callum Wilson, who did, you're right, almost spoil your party last season when he was picked by everyone but you, and then you had to quickly get him in. But this season, it is the Crystal Palace man, Jean-Philippe Mateta. Why are you sighing a great big sigh? What did you do, firstly, for game week 34?
So I've got four free hits left. It's not free hits, four free chips left. And I was always going to use my free hit for this week. I have never spent a game week where I've been completely unsure on what to do. And there were so many changes to my team. They were like, I was just constantly changing. Mateta, you know, Eze, these guys were in the lineup at one stage. 2 minutes before the deadline, I had Bruno Fernandes in my lineup. You know, I had Dominic Calvert-Lewin in my lineup, you know, but I made that many changes. And then I said to myself, you know what? I'm going to die on this hill of having players with double game weeks. And it wasn't a wrong hill to die on. It's just I chose the wrong players. Now, let's start off where I blatantly got it wrong. Liverpool, I've been telling everybody how bad they've been for ages. And I decided to pick Liverpool players, especially in defence, where we've not kept a clean sheet, you know, since Pluto was a planet. You know, it's been crazy. Then I looked at Palace and I said to myself, I looked at their form, and even though they'd beaten Liverpool prior to that, they have not been great at all. In the 32 games before playing Liverpool, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. They'd only won 7 games.
Not good. Not good.
Yep. They've not been good this season. And I said to myself, you know, yes, Mateta's got a double game week, but I don't fancy him to do it. And I don't fancy the midfielders to do it. So I said to myself, if they're going to do anything, the Crystal Palace guys, they'll do it defensively. So I went with Mitchell and Henderson. And the two last-minute changes I made, I had Watkins and Bruno Fernandes in one game. And I said, you know what? Let's do something crazy. Let's put Ben Brereton Diaz in and Hee Chan Hwang in.
Oh, Lumen. I can't even see the... So what was the thinking between... So you had Watkins and Fernandes in and you swapped them out for Brereton Diaz at Sheffield United. Ben Brereton... I don't even know how to say his name. Ben Brereton Diaz. Sheffield United, slap bang, bottom of the league. Not won a game since game week 24. and you brought him in instead of Bruno Fernandes and Heechan Wan, who hasn't scored a goal since 20... Wolves haven't won a game since 28, and he hasn't scored a goal since... I'm just looking. Oh my gosh. Since game week 19, Lumen. I can't see the logic, Lumen. I can't see the logic.
The logic was Ben Brereton-Diaz had a home game against Burnley, relegation strugglers. I fancied him to do something in that game. And with Man United, they've got a leaky defence. Half of that came true. He did score against United, but he didn't do anything against Burnley and they got hammered, right? Heechan Wan, he had a goal disallowed.
Oh, did he? Yeah, okay, allowed. Fine.
Yep. And I said to myself, with Cunha injured, Juan's going to play up top. And if anyone's going to do it for Wolves, it's him.
Now, Lumen, before we go on, we have to say, it wasn't a disaster game week because you scored 100 points with your free hit, 100 points.
It's the worst 100 point week in history because of what everyone else did. There are people like yourself who didn't use their chips, who got a this has been the greatest game week in history. And the reason for that is for returns. If you see how many players returned this game week, it is unbelievable. Players with double game weeks returned. Players with single game weeks returned. You could have had your pick from about 30-odd players and you would have done amazing.
The killer is what was on your bench, Lumen. The killer was what was on your bench.
On my bench, and by the way, I'm not the only one, there are scores of teams out there with crazy points totals on their bench, right? I had a total of, I can't believe I'm saying this, 59 points on my bench.
Can you just explain to me, because I think there's a wider FPL lesson here, or certainly a different way of thinking possibly. Can you just explain? I know you were going for maybe a Crystal Palace defenders, where you went with goalkeeper and defender, but... I just can't understand why you wouldn't stick Mateta in, as they're pretty much got Eze, maybe Elise, this week certainly, but prior to this week, not so much. It's basically been Eze and Mateta get goals, and you've got a double game week. Why not put Mateta in? I'm saying that as someone who has Mateta, and I took the captaincy off him the last, 10 minutes before the deadline. So I'm kicking myself as well. But I feel like relieved I've had him in at least. But why not even start him?
Because I wasn't convinced that he was going to do anything. That's my folly. The first mistake I made was not backing players with good fixtures with one game week, right? The second mistake I made was when I looked at the teams with double game weeks, I didn't fancy a lot of the attacking players. So I said, if I'm going to pick players with double game weeks, I'll pick the defensive players. People feasted. I mean, people feasted. And those people that feasted, they would have... Some of the teams that have done the best, right, have got Mateta as captain. But the majority of teams... had Salah as captain. And had they not had Salah, and had they not even Mateta, even if they had had a Havertz, or even a Saka, right? Because there's a stat about Salah that just blew my mind, which is Mo Salah matches his lowest ever return for a double game week. It's the fourth occasion he's failed to produce any returns in a double game week. 3 points, 3 points, 4 points, and 5 points. So, there you go. I am so glad to get all of this off my chest because all I've been seeing on Twitter, on fantasy football account is tell us about how good a week you had and people are sending stuff in. And I cannot wait till I'm done. I am done. You know what? It's been on my mind like you wouldn't believe.
It reminds me, not to sound crass, but it does remind me of this. It's not I'm sure, originally from here, but in The Office, when David Brent once said, "I'm not saying he's unlucky, but if he fell into a barrel full of tits, he'd come up sucking his own thumb." And that, for me, seems to just sum up your game week, mate. You could have gone anywhere. You could have gone anywhere with your captaincy. You could, even in your actual free hit, you had points everywhere. It's just that you came out with almost the worst possible outcome of what you had in your squad. It's really, really unlucky. I should also say Mo Salah, Kevin De Bruyne, Yaya Toure, Harry Kane, Wayne Rooney, and now Jean-Philippe Mateta. His name is etched into the history books with those greats, because he is now the top joint fifth highest scorer in for a single game week. Wayne Rooney is top, and he got 32 in 2009-2010 when he scored 5 goals and got an assist against Burnley and Hull. But Mateta, 29 points, 4 goals, 1 assist. I should say, no one really should have seen this coming, though. This was a freak. Mateta scored 7 goals this season, 2 of which were penalties. So only 5 open play goals, and he'd got 1 assist. It makes no sense. And then he had, I think, 1 double digit haul for the season. And that is the reason I thought, you know what, who's got more of a chance of going off, Bukayo Saka or Mateta? And I was like, well, Bukayo Saka. Let's just go with Saka then.
But having said that, I don't think you've ever done 2 transfers as good as you did this week.
Well, yeah. So let's get to mine then, shall we? Mine did work out well. I got 98 points. I did do a minus 4. I brought in Mateta for, who did I have? Muniz at Fulham. And I brought in Bruno Fernandes for Son at Spurs. Fernandes on a single game week, I went with that purely because they had Sheffield United at home. And I look beyond that, Burnley at home. And you would think, as bad as United are, if anyone's scoring goals for them, it's going to be Bruno Fernandes in and amongst it. And he got his highest points total of the season with 18 points. It was a bit of a masterstroke, maybe, you know, FPL luck. I'll put it down to the one that's killer for me is Mateta not captaining him when I had it on him and I changed it last minute. Otherwise, I got Henderson in goal. I had clean sheets in Kiwior and Smith at Bournemouth, and I captained Saka and Solanke up front. 98 points. I'll take that for without a chip. Let's actually then move forward a little. In fact, no, we should pick up one thing. Just a quick chat about Liverpool and Mo Salah, because that has got a lot of people wondering about what they do with Mo. I mean, the straight swap you would think would be Son for Salah. Firstly, are Liverpool out of it now? Are they actually done, do you think? And secondly,
they were never in it.
No, but come on. Certainly,
they were never in it. You just need to listen to every podcast. I've been calling it, not because I'm some sort of genius or whatever. It's because it's obvious. You can't keep going behind in every game and expect to win the league. It's going to bite you in the arse. And that's exactly what's happened. And on the flip side, what Arsenal and City have been doing. They've been steamrolling opponents. City, last 4 games, 17 goals. Arsenal, you know, every game they're pulverizing opponents. And there's Liverpool going behind in every game. You expect. And then what happened was, we all season long, we've been conceding goals for fun. But we were bailed out because of the emotion, because of some of the subs, some of our forwards. You can't rely on that. And as soon as our forwards started missing chances and stopped scoring, that was it. Liverpool right now, you know, I wouldn't have a single Liverpool player in my team. Forget Mo Salah. I wouldn't have a single Liverpool player in my team.
This is wild, because Mo Salah has been maybe the you know, I think it's arguably the greatest FPL asset in history.
He is.
And now are we finally seeing, like, actually, it's a question mark whether to have him or not. Not just this season, but going forward. You mentioned his injury last week. Is that enough for him to be like, he's not the same player?
I think there's been a lot of overreaction about how he's finished. He's not been the same. I think you'll only see where Mo Salah is start of next season. I think this season, I think the injury, it's before the injury and after the injury. I'm going to be making moves long term, and yeah, he doesn't figure in my plans.
Well, let's get to that then. Let's get to game week 35, because there's two double game week teams, Chelsea and Spurs, play each other, but they've also got other fixtures. Looking ahead then, 35, do you fancy any Chelsea or Spurs players? The obvious one, everyone is going to say Son. I'm not so convinced personally, but I don't...
Sorry, you've completely missed like the star of the season.
Cole Palmer.
Yeah.
he's got a big yellow mark on him. Is he back?
Does. We're not sure. So what's going to happen is you're going to have FPL teams that are either going to captain Cole Palmer or Son, right? The problem is Chelsea and Arsenal have got tough double game week fixtures. Chelsea are away to Villa and home to Spurs, and Arsenal are home to Arsenal and then away to Chelsea. So that's jeopardy right there, right? But you know, we know what's going to happen. People are going to pick the same. You're going to see the same types of players in every team: Son, Cole Palmer, Nicholas Jackson, Malo Gusto, Pedro Porro, right? But then you have to question, you know, how much is it worth, you know, going minus points for that? So I think in terms of captaincy, it's going to be either Palmer or Son.
Yeah, see, Palmer makes the most sense probably for me if he's fit. But I do not fancy them going away to Villa, who are chasing Champions League and want to secure that. And then at home to Spurs, you just never know. And I mean, Arsenal, we absolutely crushed Chelsea in that second half. Saying that, they should have scored goals still. And Nico Jackson, I don't know what... Miss Jackson, we kept talking about, I'm sorry, Miss Jackson. He just misses, does Jackson. It's terrible. He should have scored probably twice. So they are going to get chances. And if Cole Palmer's in there, yeah, you can, you know, I mean, Cole Palmer's Cole Palmer. I also like Madueke, but he's, you know, at 5.3 as just differentials, or Brennan Johnson at Spurs as a differential. But I'm leaning, I'll be honest with you, at a single game week player as captaincy, because there are some other interesting players there personally.
Yes, and there's one guy, he's going straight into my team. Like, I don't care.
Bruno Fernandes?
No.
Isak?
No.
Oh, wow.
No.
Go on.
Let's just say he's no flash in the pan.
Oh, Anthony. I'm surprised after he only scored the 1 point. But the thing is, Newcastle at home are a different prospect, aren't they?
They are.
At home. And they're at home to bottom of the table, Sheffield United.
And you know... I forgot to mention last week, game week before, I bring in Brian Mbeumo as a differential. He does nothing. And then in the free hit that I do and I take him out, he gets two assists. It was a horrific double game week for me. And now Mbeumo, I go away to Everton, right? If I take him out, you know he's going to score a hat trick against a blooming team that's get two clean sheets on the bounce.
Let's just look at
that. I can't do this anymore. Honestly, I can't do this anymore. I can't call it. What's going to happen?
So here's where this is what I'll tell you. Man U are home to Burnley, but Burnley have only lost one game in seven and are fighting. There's some interesting players there. Garnacho at 5 million, Fernandez at 8.4 on the back of two. He's got in his last four games, 8, 9, 15, 18. Come on, Man United, as bad as they are, Burnley at home, then Crystal Palace away, and then Chelsea, Arsenal at home is going to be tricky. But you know Fernandez. I also like Villa and Watkins at home to Chelsea. Chelsea's defence was so bad against Arsenal. Watkins is going to have a field day, I would think. For differentials, this is. Newcastle is the one where I'm rubbing my hands, licking my lips. I've already got Anthony Gordon in. If I could, I would get in Fabian Schär and Isak in, personally. I might even do that as a minus four just because. And Isak's got six goals in his last four home games. And home to Sheffield United, surely if there's a banker, if you can call it, surely that's the one you call. And then Everton are at home to Brentford. Everton are escaping or trying to get out of this mess. That's a massive, massive game. Someone I know got Dwight McNeil in. And oh my gosh, he's been scoring goals recently. 5.4 million. Some things to ponder. I think there's some tasty ones there. And before we go, this is the George Michael themed fantasy football podcast that no one really asked for. And I've got a new feature for us, Lumen. It's called Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go. And it's basically, which player have you slept on all season and have just been just oblivious to their greatness? I'm going to give you mine. We've talked about him lots, but I don't know how, as an Arsenal fan, I've not invested in Kai Havertz all season. He gets another two goals. Check this out for a stat. He's got 11 goals in total this season, 10 non-penalty goals. Cole Palmer has 20 goals this season, and nine of which were penalties. So he's only got 11 non-penalty goals. One more than Kai Havertz. It's madness when you... They're so strange. And I don't know how I've slept on Kai Havertz all season. Who is the player who you've slept on?
Anthony Gordon. I've had him in, but not... And he's not performed, but the guy has been... Sheesh, especially the last game week. So Anthony Gordon. That won't be anything of an issue going forward. But and I'll tell you another player that I've slept on, right? And I swear to God, I feel like thumping someone, right? Adam Smith.
Defender Adam Smith.
Yes, defender who keeps getting you points. How?
He's really not them that good, right?
How?
Oh dear. I feel like you needed this episode just to get it off your chest, mate. But I feel like it's still gonna game week 34. In season 23-24 is going to live forever. It just haunts you, I feel.
It will do. Now, we were talking before about David Brent. I was thinking of Ian Holloway. And this is some younger members think that this is not true. And also who Ian Holloway is. Ian Holloway was a manager who was very eccentric, managed the likes of QPR, Leicester, etc. Ian Holloway once said, to put it in gentleman's terms, if you've been out for a night and you're looking for a young lady and you pull one, some weeks they're good looking and some weeks they're not the best. Our performance today would have been not the best looking bird, but at least we got her in the taxi. She may not have been the best looking lady we ended up taking home, but it was still very pleasant and very nice. So thanks very much, and let's have a coffee.
Lumen, game week 35. We will be there, will we not?
Yeah, we'll be there. We'll be there. We'll be there. We'll be there.